Church, would you stand in the house this morning? Father, we just welcome you in this place this morning. We ask you to move in this place. Spirit of God, speak to us, Lord. We love you. He's good. Amen. Yes.
It's who you are. Still.
place for his love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. From heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from the throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Yes, thank you, Lord. Let's sing and praise the
today as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Lord, we declare in this place today that there is no one like you. That your presence today makes this a special and a powerful place today. We pray, God, that your presence would just fill and flood this church house today. May everything that we say and do bring great honor and glory to your name. We exalt you in our service today. We put you at the center today, Lord God, and we place our eyes upon you with great expectation, Lord, because we know who you are. You're a good God. You're a close God. You're personal. And we know that you have come today to touch and to minister to your people. So today, Lord God, we reach out in faith and we desire to absorb every drop of goodness that you have for your people today. We pray for those that are sick in body. We know that Jesus, that you are our healer, that you paid the price for our healing. So we speak the name, the healing name of Jesus over those that are sick amongst us today. Be healed in Jesus' name. We know that you are the glory and the lifter of our heads. We declare today that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And Lord, we may have come in here today, God, maybe a little bit tired and worn out, but we can already feel the Holy Spirit refreshing us today. So we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give him another big hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feels like heaven came down in this place today. Amen. It is so good to have you here in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for being here. We want to take a moment and send a shout out to all the fathers in the house today by saying Happy Father's Day. Can we put our hands together for all the fathers today? Come on, let's put our hands together. We can do better than that. Amen. Amen. You are looking great today. Father's almost as good as me today, but you're still looking good. So praise God. We are so glad that you are in the house of the Lord today. And we're glad that the Lord is in his house. Amen. All right. Just one word of a quick announcement. We want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving to God and to First Assembly. And you can continue to give online or by visiting the drop box that's located in the lobby today. That's it. Do we have announcements? Heidi, would you come and lead us once again?
Yes. Let's sing about our blessed assurance. Yeah.
be seated this morning. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everybody. A good day in the house of the Lord and a good Lord to serve. Could you say amen? And what a joy it is to wish everybody a happy Father's Day today. I had the privilege in our first service this morning to wish my own dad a happy Father's Day, 90 years old. At 90, he was the oldest dad in the house. You know, when years ago, I've been around the block a few times. Years ago, we celebrated Mother's Day and Father's Day in church by giving special gifts to the mom with the most children, the oldest mom, the youngest mom. We did all, and the same on Father's Day. We did that for years. That's how I grew up in church, the oldest mom, the youngest mom, all of those things. And we did that here at First Assembly until about 22 years ago. One Sunday morning, I was recognizing all of these categories, and I called for the mother with the most children, I think it was, that I'm remembering more clearly, the mother with the most children in the house. That day, and there they were in the balcony up here, right up here in the balcony, and I looked up there. They had been members of our church for like 99 years, and their names just dropped out of my mind. And so as I looked up there to recognize that sweet mom, I looked up and I did one of these. Who is that up there? Who is that up there? And they yelled out, "It's us! It's us!" I said, "Oh, it's you!" Oh, I swore, I'm not a swearing man, but I swore to myself after that service, never again will I put my... So all of you unnamed dads in the house today, happy Father's Day. We wish you a very special Father's Day today. And I was about to say that I had the opportunity to publicly wish my dad a happy Father's Day this morning, which was a great joy. I get that opportunity every Sunday, and to brag a little bit on him. Pastor Bob, get the microphone. Come on up and wish your dad. I see him in the house. Pastor Arn, come on. Dad,
stand up, Dad.
Come on.
Let's give it up for Dad today. Dad,
come on, Tim. Yes.
Yes.
Pastor Bob, tell us what you love about your dad, about Tim.
What I love about Dad?
Is there anything?
There is a lot, yeah. I love about him. But to keep it short, and you're going to be preaching about this this morning, from a young age, he took me to Jesus. Every Sunday we went to church, every Sunday night, and he gave me the greatest gift that I ever could have had. Love and appreciate you, Dad.
Bob, let me have that microphone. Our new young adults pastor is here, Mason, and his family is with us today for the first time from the Springfield, Missouri. Pastor Mason, introduce your and give us a good word about your dad today, please.
Oh boy, sorry, Dad. You have to stand up though. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
You'll see where Mason gets his height.
That's my dad. His name is Chuck. He's pretty cool. He's very encouraging, I guess. He's a cool guy. I don't know.
Mason is a man of few words. On his third Sunday here at First Assembly, let me just tell you that as he's around Pastor Bob more, he will become more and more wordy. You can count on that. So we're glad to have him in place. And Pastor Mason is doing a great job. We've had several young adults activities in the last couple of weeks, and kids have been, I say kids, they're not kids, they're kids to me. Our young adults have been great. Thank you for welcoming Pastor Mason very well, and it's been a joy. Pastor Lisa is here. She's going to try to stay awake through the sermon this morning, but she just returned with 44 kids from youth camp this week. And a great time at youth camp in every category, and a great spiritual experience for our teenagers at kids camp. How many were filled with the Holy Spirit? 12 kids filled with the Holy Spirit at youth camp. A number of kids called into, felt the call of God upon their lives into ministry, and kids saved in just powerful experiences with the Lord at youth camp, and we rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. I'll tell you, we need God today more than we've ever needed him. And oh, what a privilege it is to have a good father who invites us into his presence and just invites us to receive from him everything that we need. And he, our Father in heaven, through our Lord Jesus and by the work of his Spirit, just continues to pour into our lives one blessing after another, after another, after another. And I testify to you today, and I know you will agree with me, that we have a good, good Father. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're moving to the Word of God this morning. I told someone before the early service this morning that the best gift I could give to any dad today would be a short sermon. But I, instead of that, we have some mints out in the back that you can help yourself to if you'd like. And we'll look to the Word of God in Mark chapter 9, please, and verse number 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Our title this morning is Thanks, Jesus. And, oh yeah, and thanks, Dad. Sometimes we forget to thank those people who are most critical in bringing us the blessings of God or bringing us to the blessings of God. I think you'll agree with me that one of the chief marks of a Christian believer should be the quality of gratitude. Isn't that right? Thankfulness. Thankfulness to God and thankfulness to others who have helped us to experience the blessings and the goodness of God in our lives. And so we're reading a powerful story. It's a miracle in the ministry of Jesus in Mark chapter 9 today. We'll begin at verse number 14. Let me lay out the backdrop for you today as we get ready to read. Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, are coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And they've been up on that mountain, and it's been a mountaintop experience if ever there were one. You talk about a camp experience. Peter, James, and John had been on the mountain of Transfiguration with Jesus, and appearing to them on that mountain were Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter, James, and John were so overwhelmed by that spiritual experience that Peter, who was always talking, Peter just sort of burst out and said, I'm going to build three churches here on the mountain. One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. One of the gospel writers said Peter didn't even know he was talking about. They were so overwhelmed by this experience. In the presence of Jesus on the mountain, his clothes became bright white like the sun, shining like the sun. It was an amazing experience. But sometimes you come down from the mountaintop experience back down into the valley where the rubber meets the road. You know what I mean? Anybody ever had a powerful spiritual experience followed by a valley experience? Sure we have. We know what that's like. And so Jesus, Peter, James, and John are coming down from that mountaintop experience. And as they come down to the valley below, they find confusion and chaos amidst the disciples. There's something going on here, and whatever's going on, it has not been going right. And they walk into the midst of that, and that's when we come to chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "Oh, what are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit, a demon, that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." Jesus answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the evil spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to try to destroy him. But if you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of this boy and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, the demon came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This story could lend itself to many sermons and many subject matters. This is a story about fear and frustration and fighting just to survive in the midst of a world that is dark and difficult, where demons and devils are at work. It's a story about fighting. This is a story about faith. Jesus said in the midst of this story, all things are possible to the one who believes. This is also a story about freedom. An appropriate subject matter for today, June 19th, a federal holiday on which we celebrate the end of the cruel institution of slavery in America and freedom for our African American brothers and sisters. This is a story about freedom, but this is also a story about a father. And that's where we want to camp out a little while today on this Father's Day Sunday morning. This Father's Day Sunday morning causes us to pause for a little while and look at a father way back in the pages of Scripture. The father in this story wasn't perfect. He wasn't a spiritual superman. He didn't know all the right answers. We don't even know how godly or religious he had been through the years. But we do have enough information about the dad in this story to recognize him as a father who was absolutely devoted to his son, determined to get his son the help he needed, desperate to see his son healed and delivered and set free from the power of the enemy. And this father was driven to see his son be able to live a life in the destiny of God. This dad was mad. Everybody say, "Dad was mad." This dad was mad at the devil and at the damage brought by the work of the devil on the life of his young son. And this dad was determined to do something about it. And this dad made the best decision any loving dad could ever make. He made the decision to get his kid to Jesus. Get the kids to Jesus. That's the first principle I'm going to throw out to you today. Get the kids to Jesus. We get them everywhere else. We are bus services and taxi services and cheerleaders and we get them everywhere else. But the chief principle in this story is get the kids to Jesus. That's where help is most available. And by the end of the story in Scripture today, this boy's life had been saved. And the boy had to say, we don't hear it in his words in this story, but he had to say at the end of the story, "Thanks, Jesus. And oh yeah, thanks, Dad, for getting me to Jesus so that my life could be changed." I want us to look quickly today at this dad in detail. We begin with a look at the dad's devotion, the devotion that he had for his son, a dad committed to his son. Even in the midst of struggles and hardships and difficulties and ugly situations, this dad was devoted to his boy. We see it in four ways in the scripture this morning. First, we see that this dad had parented his son from childhood. When Jesus asked the father about his condition and said, "How long has he been like this?" The father responded to Jesus, "He's been like this from childhood." And so the dad had been right along there for the journey during this. We don't know how long he'd been possessed by an evil spirit. We don't know how long all of this had been happening, but the dad was there the whole time. He parented his son from childhood. The first principle in our outline today that I'll give you is this: it's a wonderful thing when a dad sticks with his kids. Yep. He parented his son from childhood. Secondly, we see that he persevered with his son through challenges, even great challenges. As all of this was going on, some of it was displayed right here in front of Jesus, but it had been going on all of these years that this had been happening. This evil spirit was trying to destroy this boy. Verse 22, the dad said to Jesus, "This evil spirit has often cast him into fire and into water to try to destroy him." We can imagine the picture of that as this dad and these parents had to guard this child so carefully just to keep the child from being killed by the evil spirit. The demon was trying to drown the kid or burn him up in a fire. We find later in the story that this demonic spirit had robbed this boy of the ability to speak and to hear, a deaf and mute spirit. The demon had control of this boy's physical faculties on many occasions and was working his best to destroy this boy from the inside out. I want to tell you, if you haven't known it already, you're going to see it in this story. The devil is a mean devil. Jesus had told us in John chapter 10 that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But can you imagine a devil, an evil spirit that would even try to destroy a little child? Imagine that. It was a devastating situation. And yet throughout that devastating situation, this dad persevered. I think of parents in our own church who have persevered with great difficulty in their children. Things not caused by an evil spirit, but just, a result of living in a troubled world. And parents have to guard their children and care for them and tend to them so closely just to be sure that they are not damaged or fall into harm's way. This dad had persevered through all of those terrible challenges. The third note we see about this dad's devotion is that this dad was spiritually perceptive enough to recognize his son's spiritual condition and the spiritual chains that were holding this son. Friends, let me tell you that in the kind of world in which we live today, we need parents who are especially spiritually sensitive. Because listen, I'm telling you, if you don't know what your child is dealing with, it's going to be hard to determine what the proper solution is. But when we realize the problem is spiritual, it quickly points us to the fact that if it's a spiritual problem, we need a spiritual answer. And this father recognized the spiritual struggle and recognized he needed a spiritual answer. That brings us to the fourth point about the father's devotion. He ultimately decided to present his son to Christ. And we don't know where he came from, but he journeyed whatever distance to find Jesus and his disciples to get that child into the midst of a situation, a setting where he could experience the delivering power of God. Listen to it in verse 14. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, scribes arguing with them. Immediately, all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you. For he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. And he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. The father recognized he needed to get his son to the one answer that could make a difference. He needed to get his boy to Jesus. So he makes his way through all of that mess. Now, have any of you ever been to a messy church service? That's hard to define even. I grew up in the old-time Pentecostal church. Some of our services are kind of messy, I'll tell you that. Sometimes we didn't know what was going on. All kinds of things going on. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Lots of things going on. When the Father gets into the midst of this crowd here this day, he walks right in to sort of a mess. There's all these things happening. You know, there are Jesus' disciples, they're enemies to Jesus, they're arguing, there are all kinds of things going on, and it's a mess. But ultimately, this dad gets his son to Jesus. You know, many dads are willing to get their kids to a lot of places. How about making it a first priority to see to it that they get to Jesus? Yeah? Amen? And to recognize that the most important thing, not only for children, but for people of all ages, the most important things in this life are spiritual. Right? How many of you want to live this life and at the end of it, at the end of your 70, 80, 90 years, how many of you at the end of this life, you want to go to heaven for 10 trillion times 10 trillion years? How many of you recognize that spiritual things are most important? And so this dad got his son to Jesus, a mark of great devotion. He wanted his son healed. The second note about this dad in the scripture today is the dad's disappointment. We understand that he was discouraged by maybe a decade of demonic damage. We don't know exactly how old the boy was, but from the terminology here, he's been like this from childhood. We recognize that, you know, he's been coming through some of his childhood. Maybe the kid is old enough. For this family to have been through years and years of demonic damage, Jesus said, how long has this been happening? Even Jesus was troubled by the depth of this damage and said, how long has this been going on? And the dad says, this has been going on since his childhood. It's been a long, long battle, a long, long struggle. Imagine the discouragement in the heart of this dad at not seeing anything that could help his dad. No doubt. This dad had tried a variety of remedies, just like others in Scripture had done. Gone to doctors, you know, spent their money, done everything that they could think of doing to get some relief for that boy, but relief would never come. Oh, strikeout after strikeout. And now here he is in the presence of Jesus' disciples. He had been through disappointment, and we recognize that even in this story, he was disappointed by the debilitated disciples who, in the absence of Jesus, were not even strong enough spiritually to bring about a deliverance for this little boy. Get the picture here. Verse 18, the dad says to Jesus, I asked your disciples to cast the demon out, and they were what? They were not able. I can almost visualize their attempt. We have another failed attempt at driving out a demonic spirit in the book of Acts. And it was a messy picture. As some religious people were trying to drive out a demon in the book of Acts. And that demon, there were seven religious men trying to drive out a demon in the book of Acts. And the Bible says they used the name of Jesus, but they weren't people of Jesus. And as they were trying to drive the demonic spirit out, the man in whom the demonic spirit was jumped on them and ripped their clothes off and clawed at them. And they ran out of the house bleeding and naked. How's that for a failed attempt? I'll tell you what, if you ever call upon me to drive out a demon, I want to be prayed up and ready. Yeah. And the disciples had tried to drive this demonic spirit out, and they were not able to drive the demonic spirit out. And the man was disappointed, no doubt. Thank God this dad didn't storm off in frustration or cynicism. He waited around for Jesus. In the midst of all the argument over who's right and why did this happen and how did we fail and all of these things, arguing back and forth, the man and his boy stayed there in the midst of the crowd until Jesus returned from the mountain. And then Jesus has an opportunity to speak to the dad. We see the dad's devotion. We see the dad's disappointment. Let's take a look now at the dad's determination. Notice how the dad responded to Jesus when Jesus got there. The first thing the dad asks for from Jesus is compassion. Everybody say compassion. I heard an old preacher years ago preach a sermon, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, when you come to Jesus, don't plead your case. Plead for mercy. How many of you know our Lord is moved with compassion when we come to him and call out upon him for mercy? His heart is moved. Do you know that God, let me tell you a secret this morning, friends. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us. When we come to the Lord with a need, we ought to recognize already, whether you are saved or sinner, when you come to God in a desperate situation, you need to know already God loves you. And when we call out upon the Lord for compassion, we are likely to get a response from our Lord. And the dad asked for compassion. Notice verse 19. Jesus answered, "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy to me." They brought the boy to Jesus. And when the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy. He fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood, and it's often cast him into fire, into water to destroy him. But and listen to what the dad says to Jesus. But if you can do anything, Jesus. Now don't blame the dad too quickly. The disciples have already failed. Are you here? The disciples who were operating in Jesus' name, I suppose, they have already failed. And the dad is discouraged, but we can see it in this response. And he says to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He asked Jesus for compassion. The second note we make about his determination is that after his request, he accepted the correction of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said, verse 23. Jesus, the father said, if you can do anything, have pity and help us. And Jesus said to the man, if you can, what do you mean if you can do anything? Don't you know who I am, boy? You know, we it's almost like Jesus is saying, what do you mean if I can? Who do you think I am? Here's Jesus, the Son of God, with all authority. But this dad is in the world of hurt here. He's just reaching out. He doesn't know Jesus. He's never met Jesus before. This is a new experience. He says, Jesus, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? If I can. He said, Jesus said, all things are possible for the one who believes. Notice that Jesus corrected the man, but he did not condemn the man. Hear this now. And I want to make this statement today. The book of Proverbs declares that a wise man is a man who can receive correction. Okay? Sometimes men, you know, I can relate to these things. Sometimes men don't like to receive correction. How many of you know it's hard for anybody to receive correction? Receiving correction involves humbling ourselves. You know, sometimes when we are corrected by someone, we ought to just say, I stand corrected. How hard is that? Let's practice that, can we? Let's practice that. Let's have all the guys in the room. Let's practice. Could you repeat after me? I stand corrected. Yeah, I heard the volume just drop way off on that last word, corrected. I stand corrected. The proverb says it's a wise man who can receive correction and grow from it. And you know what? The truth is you don't know everything. You need to be corrected sometimes. Pastor Bob needs correction on a daily basis in the church office. And he's so great. I know that Pastor Bob is extremely grateful that he has a pastor who is willing to correct him. We all need correction at times. This man, he didn't have the formula just exactly right. When he said to Jesus, if you can do anything, you know, please have pity and help us. And Jesus was quick to say, well, what do you mean if I can? All things are possible to the one who believes. Jesus corrected the man gently. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was pressing. This is what I believe. Jesus was pressing the man to step up. And boy, we need that sometimes. Jesus was pressing that dad. Step up here, buddy. If you want me to bring a healing into your family, then step up a little bit above that declaration if you can. And at least express a little bit of faith, man. Jesus was pressing him to grow in his faith, even in that moment, even in that encounter. And the man accepted the correction of Jesus. We know that because the third point here is that the dad accelerated his confidence in Jesus. And right there in verse number 24, look at it. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, what was the dad thinking in that moment? Look at me. The dad was clearly thinking, my doubt is about to be the hindrance to my child's healing. Do you see that? That dad was thinking, oh boy, if my lack of spirituality and confidence is going to keep my son from being healed, and then I need to step up. Boy, that's a lesson for us today. I said, that's a lesson for us today. Dads, moms, adults, teachers, leaders, we need to step up for the sake of those who are following us, for the sake of those whom we are nurturing, for the sake of those who are looking to us as examples. We need to step up. God forbid that you and I ever be a hindrance to somebody else's miracle from Jesus. And so the father said, oh, I believe. Help my unbelief. And he cried out to Jesus in that moment of determination and desperation. We can't miss this reality. This dad was willing to stretch his own faith and grow spiritually himself for the sake of his son. That's good. And because of all of these components involved, I think mostly, even in the midst of all this, mostly because of the love and compassion of Jesus, our Savior, the last chapter in the story is dad's deliverance, dad's devotion, dad's disappointment, dad's determination, and ultimately the story ends with a great work of deliverance. I say to you this morning that this was a deliverance not only for the boy, but for the dad, huh? And for the whole family. How many of you know if you had a demon-possessed boy in the house and the Lord brought a deliverance, the whole house would rejoice? Yeah. This boy, sometimes, you know, sometimes we joke about things. Oh, you know, demon-possessed boy running around. Listen, there's nothing funny about the power of the enemy to destroy lives. Nothing funny. I sometimes have joked about things myself, not meaning anything, you know, spiritually harmful. But the reality is the power of that evil spirit was ruining that boy's life and was darkening the whole household. And through Jesus, deliverance came. Notice Jesus expelled the demonic spirit. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Think about that. This was a permanent solution, right? I know this dad, he was accustomed to Band-Aids and temporary solutions. Okay, get him away from the stove, you know. Get him away from the stove. Don't let him play by the river. You know, the demon spirit tries to throw him into water and fire. Keep him away from the stove. Don't let him play near the river. This dad was accustomed to Band-Aid solutions, but when Jesus touches us, Jesus brings a powerful life change, and Jesus said, "I command you, get out of him and never enter him again." And Jesus brought a permanent solution to the problem of demon possession, drove the demon out by his divine authority. He expelled the demonic spirit, and then Jesus energized the deadish son. Because when the demon left the boy, look at what the scripture says in verse 26. After crying out and convulsing him terribly, the demon came out, and the boy was like a corpse. So that most of them said, "What? He's dead." Wouldn't that be a pity if you brought him to Jesus and Jesus just made things worse? The demon's been trying to kill the boy, and now Jesus has killed him. No. They thought he's dead. The boy just lay there on the ground. The demon was gone, but the boy lay on the floor. I think maybe the boy was just resting after all of that. I don't know. But ultimately, Jesus took the boy by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He stood up in the power of Jesus, in the freedom of a new life. Yes. The boy stood up. I love another story in the Gospel of Mark. It's a story about Jesus raising a young man who had died prematurely. And Jesus raised him from the dead during the funeral procession over in the town of Nain. And the scripture says in that story that when Jesus raised that boy from the dead, he presented him to his mother alive. I can see that in this story too. He lifted the boy up, the boy arose. I can just see Jesus. "Here you go, Dad. Here's your boy." As Jesus had brought new life to that young man. Then Jesus teaches a lesson at the end of the story. He explained the disciples' spiritual shortage and says, and the scripture says, when Jesus had entered the house after this was over, the disciples asked him privately. They didn't want a public correction. So they asked him once they were in the house privately. They said, "Well, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." You know what? That is a good lesson for all of us here today. That's a good lesson for the dads. That's a good lesson for all of us today. How many of you know, how many of you have people who are depending on you? How many? Depending on you spiritually? Depending on you, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a friend, people close to you. I don't know about you. For those who are depending upon me, I want to be prayed up enough so that when I'm needed to jump into a situation spiritually, I'm prayed up enough to do what the Lord wants me to do. Right? Now, I'll never be Jesus in the midst of it, neither will you. But Jesus suggests here that the disciples themselves could have driven that demonic spirit out while he was on the mountain if they had been prayed up. And Jesus said these kinds of things. Some victories you're only going to be able to win in your family as you are prayed up and stayed up and strengthened up in the Lord. You got to stay strong in Jesus. Would you say amen? And ultimately, at the end of the story, Jesus emancipated. He set free both the dad and the son. Verse 17, the dad simply called. We don't know the boy's name, but we know the important relationship that existed as the dad refers to this boy as my son. My son. This was new freedom and joy for dad and son alike, walking together into a newfound faith in Jesus and into a new future in the grace of God. Oh, freedom is so precious. Are you hearing me today? Our spiritual enemy is such a wicked taskmaster. And freedom in Jesus is so sweet and so precious. If you've ever experienced the work of liberation from Jesus in your own life in some category, then you yourself know what it is to be bound, and you know what it is to be free. And I guarantee you, we'll take freedom any day. It's good to be free. And dad and son walk together into that new freedom in Christ. We close this morning with four simple charges to all the dads. You know, the tradition for much of the Christian church, is everybody awake? The tradition for much of the Christian church is to praise all the moms on Mother's Day, right? And then beat up all the dads on Father's Day, okay? Oh, mothers, oh, thank you, mothers. And then on Father's Day, dad, now dad, dad, dad. No, we don't want to do that. How many of you are glad for a godly mom and a godly dad? Say amen. I am. How many of you moms here today, you want to be a powerful, spiritual, godly mom? Say amen. How many of you dads want to be a godly dad who is accomplishing in your family what the Lord wants? Say amen. Yes. So let's look at four closing principles. Number one, Christian dads must develop a genuine, thriving, growing relationship with Jesus for themselves and for the sake of their children. Because there's nothing will impact our children more than living for Jesus ourselves. Are you hearing me? We can send them here, send them there, do that, you know, all that stuff. But nothing will impact our children more positively spiritually than living for Jesus passionately ourselves. I can tell you, I thank the Lord. I'm not a perfect person or a perfect pastor. And just hush your mouth there, Pastor Bob, don't you? I don't need an amen. I don't need an amen right there, Pastor Bob. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect person. But I thank God that I'm able to live in the grace of the Lord and to know Jesus personally, love Jesus today, and experience the grace of the Lord and have the unspeakable privilege of serving in the ministry, preaching the word of God. What a life. And I say thank you, Jesus, for these great joys and privileges. But I had to look over at my 90-year-old dad today and my sweet mom who went home to be with the Lord around Christmas time just a few months ago. And I have to say, I am where I am because of the grace of God and because of the investment of my precious mom and dad who lived a life in love with Jesus before me, day after day after day after day. Did they drag me to church? No, we didn't. We never struggled as kids being with that because mom and dad loved to go to church. They loved to be involved in spiritual things. My mom and dad, they loved the Lord. They read their Bibles and prayed at home. They did all those things themselves. I just assumed from the earliest days that they loved the Lord. It's so easier to love the Lord when you see that in your family, in your parents, rather than just be told about it, to see it and experience that. That's powerful, huh? Number two, Christian dads must prioritize introducing and familiarizing their children to and with Jesus above all other earthly priorities. I have learned an important lesson. No one can thrive and excel at everything. No one. One of the lessons we learn in life is that we can't do everything, can we? We can't do everything. Because we can't do everything, we don't have time, we don't have energy, we just can't do everything, even though there might be 42 good choices. We can't do it all. So when we choose the things we do, we have to choose wisely. Isn't that right? That's the process of prioritizing. Well, I can only do three of these 30 things. If we're going to be excellent at these three things, I can't do all 30. I have to do these three. Which three am I going to focus on? Which three areas of my life am I going to just plow myself into for the sake of excellence? What am I going to choose? I hope that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have already come to the conclusion that a foundation built on and in the Lord Jesus is the most important priority in life, before all others. I urge you, dear friends, not to sacrifice spiritual priorities for other temporary things. Amen. Are you here? The Lord gives us time to do things that are enjoyable in life. I'm not going to preach against all these things that should not be preached against. But when we prioritize our time and our energy, our effort and our lives, we must prioritize wisely. Yep. Number three, Christian dads must recognize spiritual warfare for what it is and fight spiritually for the freedom and welfare of their children. And if the devil and demons are involved, dads, rise up and kick the demons out. Yep. I heard a story years ago. My time's about gone because I promised you. No, I didn't promise you a short sermon. I promised you some mints out there, didn't I? Oh, yeah. I heard a preacher tell this little story years ago about the devil walking down the road training his two little demons. All right? Training two little demons. He's walking down the road. He send them into that house over there. They'd cause a great big fight in that house. They'd come back out. Oh, we caused a big fight in that house. They'd walk on down the road. Devil would send the two little demons over into that house. They'd cause marriage difficulties there. And, oh, they'd come out and say, we broke them apart. Ah, good job, little demons. Devil's training his two little demons down the road, one house after another, causing all kinds of trouble. Finally, they come to the end of the street. There's a house there at the end of the street, and the devil says, now don't go up into that house. Well, they've been to every house on the street. The devil says, don't go over there. They say, why can't we go in there? We've been in all these other houses. Why can't we go in that house? The devil says, no, little demons. I'm wiser than you are. Leave that house alone. And the little demons begin to rise up like little demons do. They said, we want to go in that house over there. Finally, the devil said, looked at those two little demons. He said, you two little demons, I want you to know this. I myself have been in that house, and they like to beat the living daylights out of me. How many of you know some people give the devil a lot of trouble? I want to charge you, Christian believers, to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, raise up a standard against the enemy and say, you're not getting in here. No. Be strong. And principle number four, Christian dads must love their children with an enduring, embracing, expending, and expressive love. Those are qualities of excellent love. And I can tell you this morning, there is nothing like a loving dad. At the end of the first service this morning, I walked over to my dad, said, "Happy Father's Day, Dad." He looked around at me. He's not even the most expressive person in the world. He looked around at me. He said, I'm so proud of you, son. Oh, just melt away. My sweet dad, I'm so proud of you, son. There's nothing like a loving heavenly father, yes? And there's nothing like a loving dad who will bring his kids to Jesus and rejoice together in the freedom and the life that Jesus brings. Amen. Amen. So we say today, thanks, Jesus. And thanks, Dad. In Jesus' name. Stand together, please, everybody. Let's get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together for just a moment right now to give me a moment to ask across the sanctuary. Are there some here today who would say, "Pastor Lowell, I'm in church today, but I've never received Jesus into my life. And today, I feel the presence of the Lord, and I feel a stirring, a pulling at my heart. Today, I want to receive Jesus into my life and step into the plan of God for my life by becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, the Jesus who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. I want to receive Jesus into my life today." If that's you, lift your hand, hold it up right where you're standing. I'm going to look around for just a little bit. Anybody here today, "I want to receive Jesus into my life today. Please pray for me." Anyone here? Just slip your hand up quickly right where you're standing. How many dads do we have today who would say, "I want to be exactly the dad that God wants me to be"? Lift your hand. That's a simple call. I want to be exactly the dad God wants me to be. We're going to pray for that today. For the Lord's strength, the Lord's blessing upon you. The book of Hebrews, look up at me, everybody. The book of Hebrews says, God is not unfaithful. He won't forget all that you've done. Many of you dads here today, you've been faithful before the Lord. God has seen all of that. God wants to bless you and reward you for your faithfulness. We want to pray a blessing over you today, and we want to pray that God will continue to strengthen you and make you exactly what you are called to be. Now, Scott and Kelly, you come over, stand right here in front of me right here. I bragged on you last Sunday, even though you weren't here and you didn't hear it probably. I bragged on you last Sunday. Connor, come over here, Connor. Connor sometimes shoots me a text. Sometimes at like 2 in the morning. Not quite 2 in the morning. Connor texted me a while back. He said, "What do you think about such and such of a Bible question?" I said, gave him a quick response. Texted him back later. He said, "We're in the middle of our family Sunday night family Bible study. I can't talk right now. I hung up the text." That's how we old fashioned people say it. I hung up the text and I said, "Yes, they're having Bible study and a spiritual gathering at home." And we talked about that last Sunday morning in the close of our spring house cleaning series. So Scott, I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer in just a moment over all of the dads and the families in the house, if you would, please. And what I want us to do right now, I want everybody, like we've been doing the last few weeks, everybody get close to your family. Would you do it? Come on, gather around your dad, your family. Scott and Kelly, you're going to have 80 people up here. I know you got a big family. Get close to your family members this morning, everybody, so we can join together for this prayer of blessing and dedication. Okay? Come on, everybody, get to where you need to be. Run on up those stairs, guys. Get close to your family members. Thank you, Lord. Bill, I see you working on cameras there, but there comes your family to be close to you this morning. Now, before we pray, look over at Dad and say, "Thanks, Dad." Come on, say, "Thanks, Dad. We love you. We love you, Dad. We're thankful for you, Dad." Yes. All right, I hear unnecessary laughing. I hear unnecessary laughing coming from over in the Bob Nilges area. That's... All right, let's pray. Scott, do you have the microphone? Let's pray a blessing. If you want to say a word, go ahead. Let's pray a blessing and for the Lord's help and thanksgiving for our dads today. Bring him way up there, Brother Jeff.
The Bible tells us that train up a child in the way they should go, and that when they're old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect. I have children who are not here. Children who are not here physically, and children who are not here spiritually. And I know that even when I fall short, God is big enough to deal with that.
Yes.
And that there is an answer, that there is a time when they'll be called to account for what they believe. And I can no longer control that, but I can continue to pray for them. And I can continue to love them. And I can continue to live in a way that shows them what it means to be standing here.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't always do that perfectly myself. In fact, when we found out that you talked about us having a Bible study, it was in the midst of a less than perfect moment for our family. And we had to deal with that. I had to deal with that. So, Lord, I know that you are big enough, and you are strong enough and wise enough, and in you is everything that I will ever need, everything that every man standing here will ever need to be who you made us to be. And Lord, for all of the fathers here, for all of the families here, I pray that you would just pour in strength. Give us the strength to continue to get up every day and do the work. To get on our knees every day and let you do the work.
Yes, Lord.
Give us the courage and the wisdom and the grace to be ready to say the things that need to be said, even when they hurt and even when they're hard. And give us the joy that can only come from you to be ready to celebrate every little victory along the way. Because every one of those things points to you, your power and your love and your grace. And the reason that we keep following you, bring us closer, make us better. And help us, Lord, to be ready whenever you want to do something. And whatever that something is, Lord, help us to see you clearly, to hear you clearly, and to be ready to put aside all of the things that we think or feel or want, to let you do what only you can do. And then let us be ready to love.
Yes.
To love our family well, to love our family purely and strongly and enough to do the hard work every day, and enough to celebrate joyfully every step along the way when we see our children come closer to you. Every good decision, every good move, everything that looks like you. Lord, pour your spirit into us. And I thank you, Lord, for a church that calls us to these things, that continually and repeatedly puts your word in front of us and says, live up to this, and shows us how to do it. And I pray that you would help me to be a part of that every day and every week and in everything that I do. Thank you, Lord. We love you very much. In your name.
Trust in you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is more than enough for everything we need to fulfill His purposes and His plans in our lives. We love you, First Assembly family. Have a very happy Father's Day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace and great joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, dear.